the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. The Lord bless everyone in Jesus' name. And what he can do, what he only can do, will do in your life, this wonderful service of this Sunday in Jesus' name. My heart goes out to everyone online, everyone in every congregation connected with us. The Lord will bless your participation and your coming together with us in this wonderful service in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, well, thank you for this day. Thank you for this service. Thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, what you're yet doing. Thank you for those testimonies we heard. We pray that the same miracle at the same level and at the point of need we have, you do in every life in Jesus' name. Joy in every heart. Miracle in every life. And fulfillment of your word in every life in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give me a lively amen. Amen. You are blessed. You can sit down. Today we are considering something unique. It never happened before. Something distinct that the disciples of the Lord, they had never seen anything like that before. And the world in which we live, that Christ came, all the world and the prophets that had lived and the prophets that had gone, never had they seen anything similar to the Mount of Transfiguration when Christ was transfigured in the presence of his own disciples. And then Moses came from heaven. Elijah came from heaven. And Peter could see that that's Moses. And John and James, the three of them could see, that's Elijah, and then that's our Jesus, our Redeemer. But they never saw him like that before. The face was like as bright as the sun, and then the clothes as no washer, as no dry cleaner, as nobody could wash any clothes like that, very sparkling white. Never before has glory come down on earth. And Peter recorded that in the epistle. He said, I was there. He said, we were there. He said, I saw. He said, we saw. And we saw the glory that we never saw before. But now, that transfiguration of Christ, why did that happen? It's to talk about something that will happen to you. Your amen is far away. Amen. There are two words you need to take to mind. Number one is the word transfiguration. The other word is the word transformation. You look at Christ and you see transfiguration, and you look at man as he comes in the hands of God, and a unique experience, a distinct experience, a different experience, what had never happened in any life and in your life. The word transformation. When you bring those two things together, you talk about Christ and it is the transfiguration. And you talk about the believer that has come to Christ and it is transformation. That's why we're looking at the story. We're looking at the record. We're looking at what happened to Christ. We're looking at the transfiguration. And we're looking at the application to the man, application to the woman that will come to Christ. And then what happens to Christ will be transferred to your life. The transforming possibilities of the transfiguration of Jesus. The transforming possibilities. How the Lord can transform your life from the ordinary to the extraordinary. When you were coming to that mount of transfiguration, it was like, you know, ordinary. They had seen Jesus Christ before. They had even eaten with Jesus before. They had been in the boat with Jesus before. All of a sudden, something extraordinary. And when God transfers that to your life that had been ordinary, so-so life, ordinary life, superficial life, your life to day, as the power of transfiguration comes upon you, will go from ordinary to extraordinary. They were looking at Christ on earth, and all the time they saw Christ is the Christ Nazareth, is the Christ in Capernaum, is the Christ in all those earthly places. And then they got to the Mount of Transfiguration. All of a sudden, everything changed. It was not earthly anymore. It was heavenly. The transfiguration tells us of the moving from the earthly to the heavenly. At this time now, your life has earthliness. Earthliness. Like the dust, like the air, like the normal things we see, like all men, like you, like me, earthliness. But now, today, at the power of transformation comes in your life, there will be heavenliness. Did I hear amen? Amen. The Lord will take that which is earthly. He'll put something there, your life will shine. Amen. Even your body will reflect the light of heaven in Jesus' name. Amen. From earthliness to heavenliness. Now, our lives, as we go through life like this, sickness, infirmity, deficiency, we're at a low level. We used to run, now we can only walk gently, because sickness has taken a toll in the life of man. But as we come to Christ, and we know there is a power, the power beyond the ordinary things we have seen, even until yesterday, today, from sickness to healing, to deliverance, and to soundness in every life in Jesus' name. The transforming possibilities of the transfiguration of Jesus. There are three things we're looking at. Number one, the majesty and the glory of transfigured Christ. The majesty and the glory of the transfigured Christ. Number two is the message from glory. As they were there, here is Christ, here is Moses, here is Elijah. And then Peter said, this is so wonderful, I don't want to go back home. Therefore, Lord, permit us, and we'll make three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And then a cloud overshadowed them. The light of glory overshadowed them. And then the voice, the message from the Father in heaven. This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And God said, all the message I have for the whole universe, all the message I have for any man, every man on earth, put in him. I delight in him. I didn't share the message. God said, I gave all the message I have for the whole world. I've given him to him, my beloved son. If you want to have life, hear him. If you want to come to heaven, hear him. If you want to reign on earth and reign with him in the millennial reign, you hear him. If you want to have joy unspeakable, if you have to have life, if you want to have life immeasurable, there is no other way. I've deposited all the message on him. Hear ye him. Number two is the message from glory for all teachable creatures. Creatures, all those who are created by God and they are teachable, and they say, yes, Lord, I'm listening. I want to hear, because I know anything I'm going to have on earth, in heaven, here, temporal, there, eternal, the message is in him. Hear ye him, all creatures. Number three, the miracle of glory. The miracle of glory. What's happening to you today? I said, what are you going to get today? Miracle of glory. Didn't you see the miracle there for Moses, who had died thousands of years before, for him to travel all the way from heaven? And then for Peter to see him. And Peter began to say, look at that. That means the Bible is true. Look at this man, Moses. He died thousands of years ago, and now he's risen. And he came from glory. I see miracle today. Somebody there, I see miracle today. Somebody there, what do you see today? Look at Elijah there. Chariots came from heaven. Any lie anybody have been telling, what happened to Elijah? And was searching for him there. And was searching for him there. Maybe he's dropped in one wilderness somewhere. Any story anybody had been telling, all of a sudden, look at Elijah. And he came from heaven. What other miracle am I looking for? When Elijah and Moses can come straight from heaven, your miracle like that will come from heaven. There is no disturbance, there's no hindrance, there's no blockage. Today, something must come from heaven, from the Father unto you. Unto me. I said unto me. That miracle will locate you there. Isn't it a miracle? The land of Israel, wide everywhere. And you go to that tribe and that tribe and that tribe, like we have states in Nigeria. There are 12 tribes. And Elijah coming from heaven, Moses coming from heaven, could have landed in the land of Naphtali. And the other person could have landed in the land of Issachar. But exactly that location, Moses landed, Elijah landed, exactly this location. Your location there. I'm looking for you. That miracle will land there. It will not get you any other place. Number three, then, the miracle of glory through his transforming cross. Number one, we're looking at the majesty and the glory of the transfigured Christ. In Matthew chapter 17, reading from verse 1, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. And then in verse 2, it says, and he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And then in verse 3 it says, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Three things we're looking at here. Number one is the marvel and the greatness of his transfiguration. Number two, the meaning and the goodness in our transformation. Number three is mission of grace for our transfusion. The Lord will transfer something to your life. Number one, we're looking at the marvel and the greatness of his transfiguration. That's what I just read to you now in 2 Peter chapter 1, reading there from verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 16. For we have not followed a cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And then in verse 17 it says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then he tells us in verse 18, and this voice which came from heaven we heard, we, Peter, James, John, every one of us, we heard. It's not something that one person told another. Did you hear that voice? They heard. As they heard, you were here. When you hear the voice of God, your life will never be the same anymore. As Peter, James, John heard that voice and saw that sight, all doubt that were in their hearts before, all the doubt melted away. When you hear God directly, he had revealed himself in the previous chapter, chapter 16 of Matthew, because flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. And then on top of that, beyond that, ahead of that, now Peter, James, John, they heard the voice of God directly. This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And so he said, we were with him when we had that in the Holy Mount. The marvel of that, the greatness of that, and the marvelous thing he did in them, and the marvelous thing he will do in your life. What's the marvelous thing he's doing in our life? Number one, now we know there is heaven. If anybody says, are you sure there is heaven? Yes, there is heaven. What if all the worship you're doing, running up and down, and then at last you discover there is no heaven? Nothing like that. There is heaven. Where did Moses come from? Heaven. Where did Elijah come from? Heaven. Where did that voice come from? Heaven. Well, thank God there is heaven. And the Lord said he has gone to prepare a place for you. You will be there. I will be there. We shall see one another like Moses saw Elijah, like Peter, James, John saw them. I will see you. You will see me. The marvel and the glory of the transfiguration of Christ. Look at number two here. Number two, we're looking at the meaning and the goodness in our transformation. Why did that happen? You have heard that God is a God of all power. And the power that we've been reading about, Peter was not there when God created the world, the earth. James and John were not there when the creation happened. And so they just read, God is the God of power. Is anything too hard for me? And they accepted that by faith. But now, look at this. The power of the Lord sent Moses from heaven. Even this sky that you see, it's thousands of miles away from the earth. The sun is thousands of miles from the earth. And heaven of heavens, beyond that, God had the power to send Moses down and to send Elijah down. That for me means a lot. That whatever God wants to do in my life, in the life of my brother there, in the life of my sister there, God will do. There is no hindrance for God. The goodness of God. Now, look at Elijah. Thousands of years the Lord kept him, and he was still Elijah. And Moses, thousands of years over there, he was still Moses. And they recognize, when I see you in heaven, you'll be exactly the way you are now. Yeah. There'll be no other face that I'll be asking, is that brother James? Is that brother John? Is that brother Michael? Is that brother Samuel? Is that sister, what's your name? Is that sister Joy? And I say the same, but the face will be more beautiful and more glorious and more majestic. You will know that it's a heavenly face that you are going to have on that day. And then you'll say, praise the Lord, I continue with the Lord until now, and look at me now. The body will have no disease. The body will have no scar. The body will not have anything earthly. It will be heavenly. And you'll be glorious in Jesus' name. The meaning of that for us, that God can preserve us until that day. The goodness of that for us, that God will preserve you until that day in Jesus' name. Now, how will that happen? What change can God make now and prepare you and prepare me for that time? Ephesians chapter 5, I'm reading from verse 26. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. In verse 27, it says that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, like Moses presented on that mount of Christ, a glorious Moses, like Elijah presented unto Christ on that mount, a glorious Elijah, that he will so purge you, he will purify you. Now I know that if God had the power to bring Moses down, bring Elijah down, I know he has the power, he will purify you. He will purge you. He'll make you, your heart, your spirit, your soul, so glorious that it shall be holy and without blemish. As Peter, James, and John looked at Moses and Elijah, no blemish at all, everything spotlessly white. And as they looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, they had seen him before, but there was no blemish at all. He did that to tell you, he will do that in your life. It will purge your soul, it'll purge your spirit, and it'll so purify you and sanctify you. There'll be no blemish in your heart, in your spirit, in Jesus' name. Look at verse 27 there. It says that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having a spot, and not having wrinkle, and not having any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Can God do that this afternoon? I said, can God do that to you that this afternoon? That's exactly what he will do. Look at number three. Number three, we're looking at his mission of grace for our transfusion. Transfusion is when you are short of blood. And then they take blood from the blood bank. And then they inject that into your veins. You were anemic before, weak. You couldn't walk. Your legs could not carry you before that time. And then they infuse that blood into your veins. And all of a sudden, you come alive. Like you're going to come alive at the time of prayer today. I said you'll come alive at the time of prayer today. When the transfusion has taken place, strength will come. Weakness will go. Doubts will go. Confusion will go. The brain that is forgetful, it will come alive. And then you remember, Christ is my Lord. And everywhere you go, that confidence and trust and faith in the Lord will be active in your energized life in Jesus' name. Transfusion. I said transfusion. You go from the level of dim sight and you'll see clearly. You will see your Christ clearly. You'll see your healer clearly. You'll see your deliverer clearly. Moses saw very clearly, and then so bright. He didn't need eyeglasses to see him. That's Moses. That's Elijah. That's my Christ. And he said, I want to be here because here all needs are met. They didn't even think of hunger, of thirst, of anything. As you are there, all your needs supplied in Jesus' name. Hebrews chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2, we're looking at verse 9. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Do you remember the discussion Moses and Elijah came to have with the Lord Jesus Christ? They came to discuss with him on the death he will die for your redemption. The death he will die for your glorification. The death he will die for every good thing you need coming from heaven. And it says that death that Moses and Elijah discussed with the Lord is for you. He should die, taste death for every man. Thank you, brother or sister there. Okay, thank you now, everybody. The death, spiritual death, or should have died, Christ has tasted that for you. And all the burden of eternal death, second death, final, total, complete, forever death, which is separation from God, Christ has borne that for you. Yes. Now you will live forever. Yes. You have the life of God forever. Yes. And even at this time now, before you cross over, the life and the strength in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is yours right now in Jesus' name. Lameness will vanish away. Blindness will vanish away. And all that weakness, if I walk a little, I sit down. That was, yesterday. But now, strength. Now, power. Now the new life. The new life. If it could happen like that on the Mount of Transfiguration, your own, as the Lord transfuses the power into your life, you'll no more be the same in Jesus' name. Hebrews chapter 2, and I'm reading from verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that he through death," what Moses and Elijah discussed with Christ, "that he through that death might destroy him." Destroy him. Destroy him. Who? If you know you are right, speak confidently. He'll destroy the power of Satan from your life. By that death that Moses and Elijah discussed with him, now, that person that wants to cut short your life prematurely, the Lord will blow him up. That he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And then in verse 15 it says, "And deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." My deliverance has come. Your deliverance has come in Jesus' name. We're coming to point number two now. Point number two, the message from glory for all teachable creatures. Creatures, those who are created by God. Saints or sinners, people who have just come, people who were here before, we're all creatures of God, but there's something that identifies us as people that will be blessed, is the word teachable. There are some people, they are not teachable. They think all the knowledge they will ever have, they have got. And when you look at the knowledge, even the knowledge that we have in the world, vast and great. The libraries of the world, vast and great, and you do not have 1% of the knowledge of earthly things. And yet there are people that do not have 1% of the knowledge available, and they think they've got everything, and they're not teachable, and you cannot add to their 1%. I pity them. I know you are not like that. I am not like that. And then the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of salvation, the knowledge of sanctification, the knowledge of holiness, the knowledge of healing, the knowledge of deliverance, the knowledge of the ability, immeasurable ability of Christ, that if you're going to have the benefit of the knowledge, you will be teachable. You'll say, "Lord, here am I. What do I know? I don't know up to 1% of the knowledge of spiritual things. I want more. I want more. I want more." Those are teachable creatures. Now, the message from glory for all teachable creatures. We're looking at Mark chapter 9, and we're reading from verse 3. It says, "And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller, no dry cleaner on earth can white them." And then in verse 4 it says, "And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus." Look at verse 5. In verse 5, "And Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here." And I was saying that we don't have all the knowledge we ought to have. And Peter did not have all the knowledge he ought to have. And Peter must be teachable. Peter said, it is good for us to be here. No, Peter, there is one man down the valley there. Just as you cross away from this Mount of Transfiguration, the man has brought his child, his son, to the 9 disciples. They prayed and they could not heal him. The man is sorrowful. It's not good for you to be here. We need to go down and touch that life. There are 9 disciples that are still waiting over there. They've not got all the power they ought to have. And they are wondering, why couldn't we heal this boy? And Christ was not physically there with them. They would have asked him the question, why couldn't we? No, Peter, it's not okay for us to be here. We must go down to the people that are suffering and bring the power that we'll see, the power that will taste on the Mount of Transfiguration, and go and touch other lives. But Peter was teachable. I will be teachable. I said I will be teachable. He said, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. And then in verse 6, for he wist not what to say, for they were so afraid. And then in verse 7, and there was a cloud that overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. This is my beloved son, hear him. Now the time is over for you to ask Moses any question. My beloved son, hear him. The time is gone for you to go to the prophet Elijah. Prophet, what do you say? Speak to my life. That time is gone. Here is my beloved son. Hear ye him. The time is gone for you to consult with the lawgiver and for you to consult with the great man that brought fire from heaven and say, direct my life. They will not, because now Christ is now the voice of God to you on earth. And so the voice came from heaven. This is my beloved son. Hear him. We're looking at 3 things here. 3 things. Number 1, the Father's message from heaven. Number 2, the full message for all humans. Number 3, the final message for all to hear. The final message for all to hear. Look at number 1, the Father's message from heaven. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, reading from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1, reading from verse 1. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, verse 2, it says, as in these last days, at this time that we live, spoken unto us by his son. He speaks to us clearly about salvation. He speaks to us clearly about eternal life. He speaks to us clearly about the way to the Father. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. Everything he taught, everything he declared, it was the message from glory from the Father unto you, unto me, unto everyone. It says, now He speaks to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, it tells us who being the brightness of his glory. Christ, the brightness of the Father's glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Number two is the full message for all humans. The full message. When the Father gave the message to the Son to give to the earth, to give to all creatures, he didn't reserve part of the message, that he will send another prophet, he'll send another speaker, he'll send another founder. No, he gave the full message. Any message you are going to hear that will prepare you for heaven, the full message comes from Christ. And I pray you will have that message. You will receive that message. You will not play or gamble with that message in Jesus' name. John chapter 12, reading from verse 49. John chapter 12, verse 49. For I have not spoken of myself. That's Christ talking. Christ said, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. The Father gave him the full message. He will not take away from that message. He will not add to that message. That message alone, nothing less, nothing more, nothing else. The full message. No subtraction, no addition, no modification. He said, he commanded me what I should say and what I should speak. Look at verse 50. In verse 50, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. As you receive the word of Christ that the Father gave him, you will have life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Number three here, we're looking at the final message for all to hear. The final message for all to hear. There's no other message that will come after the final message. Have you noticed the protocol and the way things are done in the government? This person will speak, that person will speak, and then the governor or the president for the nation, he stands up and he speaks, and after he has spoken, the final authority, after he has spoken on that platform that day, no other officer, no other government official will say, hold on, I have something to say. That breaks the protocol. Once the king has spoken, and once the authority has spoken, and once the final voice has come, no other voice will come. Jesus is the King, and Jesus is the Lord. And when he has spoken, that's final. We cannot go and ask Moses now. I hear what Christ has said. What do you say? He said, I have nothing to say. The final authority has spoken. Christ, the King, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, and the one that has the mercy coming from the Father directly, he has spoken. Moses has nothing else to say. And Elijah, what do you say? Nothing else, because Christ has spoken. And when Christ has spoken in your life, no other voice has right to speak to you. Satan has no right to speak to you. Demons have no right to speak to you. Confucianists, those who come to confuse people, they don't have any right. And you should not give them the right. You should understand, the King has spoken. The final word has come to me. And because I've got the final word, I will not listen to any other voice. Can I hear your amen? Final. When Jesus said, you are saved, that's all I want to hear. I don't want to hear another voice of Satan saying, are you saved? There's no discussion. I am saved. Somebody there, I am saved. When Christ speaks to my heart and he says, all your sins, which are many, they are forgiven. I don't want to hear any other thing. I know my sins are forgiven. Somebody there, like I know. I said, I know that my sins are forgiven. Christ has spoken, and no other voice will attract my attention. That's why it says that I know that his commandment is everlasting life. And whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so speak I. And now in John chapter 6, reading from verse 63, John chapter 6, reading from verse 63, here we have, it says, it is the spirit, the quickness that makes alive, the flesh profiteth nothing, the words that I speak unto you, that's Christ, the words that I speak unto you, they are life, they are spirit, and they are life. And when that spirit of his word enters into you, the spirit of death will vanish away, and the spirit of weakness will vanish away. The words that Christ has spoken, they are spirit and they are life. I have that final message. All other messages contrary to that will not hold any water, will not even drop anything in my cup. I have the final thing. All those other things are nothing in your life in Jesus' name. We're coming to number three here. Number three, the miracle of glory through his transforming cross. The miracle of glory. If you read that chapter 17 of Matthew, as you read down, you'll see that that boy that had insanity, everything was transformed. Insanity turned to sanity. I didn't hear your amen. Amen. And the people, as you read down, that had sicknesses, as Christ met them, transformation happened in their lives, because now their sicknesses turned to healing. And in your life, that's what will happen today. That as you meet Christ now, transformed, and the Heavenly Father has given the assurance, confirmation, this is my only begotten Son, beloved Son, hear ye him. And since you have now heard from heaven, as you are coming back to the valley, you carry that transfiguration and that transformation with you. Everything you touch will turn to blessing. Everywhere you go, you'll meet blessing there. Darkness will vanish away. Light will come. Power will come, and every good thing you desire coming from the transfiguration of Christ, everything transformed, everything transfigured, everything good transferred into your life. Number three, the miracle of glory through his transforming cross. Three things we're looking at. Number one, our accomplished redemption through his cross. Number two, our acceptable righteousness in the crucifixion. Number three, our accompanying resurrection with the conqueror. Number one is our accomplished redemption through his cross. Accomplished redemption through his cross. Galatians chapter 3, we're looking at verse 13. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, here it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I'm going to make it personal. Christ has redeemed me. Say it in unison. From the curse of the law, being made a curse for me, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. On that tree, as it was hanging there, it was demonstrating the message. All the curse you should have borne from the law, from any man, from any offended one. They put something in the mouth and then they spoke a curse against your life. Now Christ said that curse will not take any effect in your life anymore. Because Christ has gone to the cross and he has the final say. In my life, he has the final say. Nobody can take anything, any instrument, after the final word had come, that he had borne all my curse. Then somebody is coming to say any other thing. It's too late. I said it's too late. Heaven has closed the door against him. Whatever he says is not speaking to you, it's speaking to the thin air. And nothing, the wind will carry that curse away. Because it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Look at verse 14. It says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I receive. I said, I receive. Look at number two here. Number two is our acceptable righteousness in the crucified. Acceptable righteousness. Now, there is a kind of righteousness which is not acceptable. A well-trained mechanic will tell you that you took your car there. And as you took your car there, you want him to repair the vehicle and put in appropriate parts that will make your engine work and that will move your vehicle smoothly. And you say, I want to get the thing myself. And you went to that, side of the road shop and you said, I'm looking for this. I'm looking, oh, they say we have, and they give you this and they give you that. The only thing is that thing is fake. Nothing will not work. You take it to the trained mechanic and he looks at this and he says, look at this side and look at made in, that this one is not the real one. He'll give you the real one. I said he'll give you the real one. You know, the kind of righteousness you go to get by yourself somewhere, self-righteousness, religious righteousness, the kind of righteousness you're going to get by human effort, and then you bring it to God. God says, this one is fake. All your righteousnesses are like filthy rags. This one will not work. Go to the one that has the original. His name is Christ. And when you go to Christ and you say, I am unrighteous, but you are righteous. And you died for me. You died in my place. I want righteousness. Christ will say, good, you came. He will give you original. From heaven, he will give you original. And that original will affect your heart, affect your soul. And when you get to heaven, when you get to the gate, and they say, only the righteous get here. You say, yes, I am. They say, show your righteousness. And you open your heart. Oh, they say, that's genuine. If the righteousness coming from Christ, you will get to heaven. Our acceptable righteousness in his crucifixion. We're looking at Romans chapter 6. I'm reading from verse 6. In Romans chapter 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth ye should not serve sin. Look at verse 18. Verse 18 says, being then made free, his hand, his power, the possibilities in him, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. That the righteousness that comes from him directly and gets to your heart. I rejoice with you. Heaven is your final place. Look at verse 22. Verse 22 says, but now, be made free from sin and become the servants to God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness. Not superficial holiness, not the one you try by yourself. I am holy, I am holy. This one is made in heaven. And it comes through the hand of Christ, and it comes to your heart, that genuine thing you will have in Jesus' name. And the end, everlasting life, everlasting life, everlasting life. The life of God will pass into you. We're looking at number three here. Number three is the accompanying resurrection with the conqueror. The accompanying resurrection with the conqueror. He died, he was buried, he rose again. Today, everything in you will rise again. And when you rise, the joy, the excitement, and the happiness, and the liveliness, when you rise with him, that resurrection will be real in your life today in Jesus' name. Colossians chapter 3, and I'm reading from verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, we're looking at verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. In verse 2, it says, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. In verse 3, it says, for ye are dead, all the condemnation dead, part, thrown away. For ye are dead. All the rubbish, everything you were happy with before, everything that made you to go this way, go that way, walking in the flesh, all that is dead now. I said all that is dead now. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life, my life, is hid with Christ in God. Maybe you've heard me say this before. Look at a letter that we put in a small envelope. and we put that envelope in a bigger envelope and we seal it. Before anyone can get to that letter, he has to open the big envelope, tear the big envelope first, and then he has not even gotten to the letter. And then he takes the smaller envelope and tears the smaller envelope, and then we'll get to the letter. You are that letter. And then that letter, you are hid in Christ. And Christ, with the letter inside, with you inside, hid in the Almighty God. If anybody is going to get to you, they have to get to God first. And then they have to get to Christ before they can get to you. They won't even try. They cannot. Who can tear God apart to get to you? Who can tear Christ apart to get to you? Your life is hid with Christ in God. You missed your amen. And then in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. He's about to come. He's coming. You'll hear the trumpet sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive will be caught up together with them. It says, Christ, who is our life, when he shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I see how glorious you will be. Yes. Splendor. I see what splendor will be in your life. Yes. I can see that face. I can see that person. I can see resurrection power of the Lord that will raise you up, that will lift you up. And then you say bye-bye to the world. Heaven, you enter. Yes. Where are you? Raising up the hand is not enough. Where are you? That's good. Where are you now? Rise up and tell the Lord, oh Lord, the God of resurrection, the God of transfiguration, the God of transformation, the God of transfusion, that transfuses heaven into my personality. I thank you. I believe everything Christ has said. He died for me. He was buried. He rose again for me. And now, as I connect with him and believe him, I have his salvation. He quickens me. He makes me alive. My body receives healing. My spirit receives deliverance. Tell the Lord now, tell the Lord, and let the transforming power of the Lord work in your life. Remain in your life. Abide in your life. And you'll never be the same again in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you still there? Amen. Raise up that hand to heaven. Goodness coming from heaven unto you. Glory coming from heaven unto you. Abundant, inexhaustible grace coming from heaven unto you. Joy coming from heaven unto you. Miracle coming from heaven unto you. A new life, mighty, strong, powerful, that cannot be touched or destroyed by any power on earth, coming from heaven unto you. This is the turning point of your life. That all the things you cried about in the past, we cry no more. We're not subjected to anything from the world anymore. You're free. Your wife is free. Your husband is free. Your children are free. Your parents are free. Your loved ones are free. No fear, nothing evil will happen to you. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for the revelation of the transfiguration of Christ. And we thank you for the power that comes through that transfiguration and there's transformation in every life. Lord, I pray, like the rains come from heaven, I pray that your regeneration, your restoration, your recovery, and your renewal and the revival will come without any, without partiality on everyone in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray the weakness of the past be totally forgotten now. The ordinary life of the past be totally forgotten now. Extraordinary pardon. Extraordinary purity, extraordinary power, extraordinary joy, a real joy, excitement from heaven come upon everyone in Jesus' name. Life, liveliness, excitement, and the life that goes on because there's eternal life, there's abundant life, there's supernatural life. Oh Lord, let everything come upon your people now in Jesus' name. From today, that evidence of transformation, that evidence of transfiguration will be in every one of our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. A new man, amen. A new woman, amen. A new boy, amen. A new girl, amen. A new creature. Amen. That newness follow you everywhere you go. Amen. Where you were weak, now you are strong. Amen. Where you were powerless, now you are powerful. Where you were ignorant, now you have revelation. Lord, I pray that your blessing will multiply upon every life. And this day, Transfiguration Day, Transformation Day, will continue with us in power, in strength, in joy, in anointing and unction in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and have a blessed Sunday.